know, the new chapter that's about to, you know, Ashley and I are about to embark on in our lives. It's very exciting. And, you know, I don't get very many of these opportunities, and just any time that I can, I love to be up here to preach and to just to be in God's Word and to be sharing that with you guys. I'm just very thankful for all this, and I hope that what I have tonight is beneficial. I hope that the words that I present here are applicable to your lives, and that they can be used in our daily lives. So tonight, as you can see on the screen, I'll be talking a little bit about how to build a stronger relationship with God. And the word relationship means a connection. It is defined as an association between two parties. It is an involvement between two parties. And words that are synonymous with relationship are words like kinship, words like alliance, dependence. We all have a relationship with God, and you know, we are all associated with God in some way. We are all involved with God in some way. We all have an alliance with God. We all have a dependence upon God in some way. And there are really two ways that we have a relationship with God. We are, first of all, have a relationship physically, because God physically created us. He physically provides for our needs. He provides us the food that we eat, the jobs that we have, the places that we live. He provides for us physically. We have that physical connection with God. We also have a spiritual connection with God. God has chosen us to be His spiritual people. He has called us to be His children through Christ. He has called us to be His children because He is, in fact, our Heavenly Father. And so tonight, I want to just focus a little bit on the relationship with God through a spiritual standpoint, because really, the only way to be satisfied through a physical relationship with God is to first have that spiritual relationship with God built and strengthened. And you know, the points that I'm going to be making tonight really aren't profound. They're not anything new that I've come up with. They're really, I think, basic fundamental ideas that we can use and that we really should be using on a daily basis in any situation, in any relationship that we have, not just between ourselves and God. You know, we all, I would say the majority of us here, all believe that God should be and that He is number one in our lives. God is the one for whom we should be living. But I think that in time, our relationship with God can become humanized. And by that I mean we tend to put God... Sorry about that. Let me move this down a little bit. Is that better? You guys still hear me? Okay. What I mean by humanize our relationship is that we tend to just forget that God is God. We start to think of Him as just an acquaintance that we know, someone who we've met that we know very well, and we call upon every once in a while when they're needed, or if we just want to talk. You know, I think that we become lazy in our relationship with God. We become forgetful that God, as I said, is the one for whom we should be living. And that relationship with God is really the only relationship that we should be striving to have. So what I want to just talk about tonight is just I have 4 points that I want to make tonight, and they are all just examples of things that we can do to build that relationship just a little bit stronger with God. And first thing that we need to do, first thing that we need to remember is that in any relationship, in any type of relationship, not just a relationship between us and God, we have to lay down a foundation. A foundation is the starting point upon which we build any relationship. If you think about the marriage relationship, the foundation of a marriage relationship is the love between between the man and the woman. If you think about a relationship between two individuals or two friends, or a group of individuals, there is the foundation of common ground. There is that commonality, that camaraderie between these parties of these individuals that allow them to build upon the relationship. That is the foundation that they have laid down. The foundation is, as I said, the starting point. It is also something that needs to be firm. The foundation is what holds everything together. If you don't have a strong foundation, everything on the top is gonna fall apart, and it's not gonna be a very lasting relationship. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 25 and 26 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." So the logical question would be, what is our foundation that we build upon the relationship with God? Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Our foundation is the fact that Christ was hung on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And he has ascended into heaven, and that he is coming back. That is our foundation. Christ is our firm foundation, and there is no way that he will be shaken as a foundation. And our relationship with God is not going to waver as long as we keep in mind that Jesus Christ is the foundation for our relationship. The purpose of Christ's death was to take our sins away. It was to cleanse us of those sins in order to have that relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 or 4, Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." The very reason we meet every week is because we believe that Christ has died for us. We believe that he has done away with our sins in his death and burial and resurrection. And we commemorate every week with the Lord's Supper that fact that he has died for our salvation. So we have a foundation laid down. Next, in order to build our relationship, or strengthen our relationship, really is to study the Word of God. And I say diligently because just to study the Word, just to memorize and to know where certain scriptures are and where different passages in the Bible, it doesn't always give you what you need. The word diligent means to be constant in our effort to accomplish something. It means to be attentive and persistent in doing anything. By studying and interpreting the meaning of the scriptures, we are in essence allowing ourselves to gain understanding of gain understanding that will aid us in our battles against Satan. Whenever Satan attacks us, we have the knowledge through the scriptures to defend ourselves. Over in Matthew chapter 4, that account of the temptation of Jesus is a great example of being able to withstand the devil through the knowledge of the scriptures. Any time that Satan would tempt Jesus, Jesus would recall the scriptures and he would say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And it's such a great example because, you know, that's something that we can keep in mind whenever we feel that Satan is trying to attack us and tempt us in things. We can always go back to the Bible, go back to God's Word and see what he has to say and take comfort in the fact that God has given us a weapon to use against the attacks of Satan. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You know, the Bible is the tool that God gives us to be able to withstand these attacks by the devil. It is a tool not only to defend ourselves, but is a tool that we can use to gain access to the wisdom and to the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." If we are diligently studying the Word of God, we are able to truly know who God is. God reveals his character, his nature. He reveals who he is to us within the scriptures. The Bible says, first of all, that God is light. God is good. Light is associated with good in the scriptures. God is light, and his light covers all of the darkness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God's light is overpowering to the darkness. There is no darkness that can be found whenever God's light is revealed to us. The Bible also says that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 tells us that love originated from God. In order for us to know who God is, we have to know that God is love. There is that direct correlation that between love and God. If God is God, then God is love. And if we are to know who God is, then we are ourselves needing to show that love in order to know the love of God. That sounds a lot more sense in my head. I'm sorry if that didn't make any sense at all. This is the scripture for it. Beloved, let us love for one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's a much better explanation than I was giving. So the Bible also says that God is jealous. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves his wrath for his enemies." God wants his people. God is not going to give us up very easily. Whenever we turn our backs on God, whenever we sin against God, he allows us to do it only to show us our stupidity in doing that and committing that sin. He allows us to do it only because he knows that if we are truly a repenting people, we will come back to him. He is jealous for us. He wants us to turn to him whenever we need him. And if we are to have that relationship with God, we have to know that any time we turn our backs on God, any time that we sin against God, we become, in essence, we become an enemy of God. Any time that we allow the world to reign in our lives, and we are not allowing God to reign in our lives. We are loving the world rather than God. Third point is to live a godly life. The third thing we can do to strengthen our relationship with God is to live a godly life. There's that phrase that I've heard a lot, that imitation is the highest form of flattery. You know, I think it would be very flattering, or God would be very, I guess, flattered would be the best word I could think of. It would be pleasing to God if we were to live our lives imitating God. Or doing our best anyway to strive to live like God. Living a godly life means that we have to have the strength to turn away from what the world has to offer. We have to turn away from the materialism. We have to turn away from the desires of our own flesh. We have to turn away from all the peer pressures that are around us. It's impossible to imitate God without actually living a godly life. It's impossible for a self-proclaimed Christian to say, I am living a godly life, without actually imitating who God is in their life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. In living a godly life, we have to be willing to turn away from, as I said earlier, we have to be willing to turn away from the world. We have to be able to turn and face God, to know what he expects us to do in living that godly life. Living the godly life means walking the path that God has laid before us, and walking in his footsteps that he has placed before us. The only way that we can gain eternal life, eternal salvation, is by walking on that pathway that God has set for us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the one who created him. Also, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So living a godly life means that we have to be willing to turn away from the world, to stop following the world, and turn towards God and follow the path that he has set before us. Obviously, I think Jesus is the greatest example of this, of living this godly life. He showed the highest amount of humility that any human could have shown. He was willing to do all the things that God had wanted to do. He was God in human form, but he was also the imitator of God. He showed us how to live that godly life. Excuse me, I think I jumped ahead of myself there. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes about how the humility that Jesus showed, the attitude that Jesus had in living the godly life. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So, Jesus was showing us how to live a godly life, and is actually sort of leads into my next point, which is to serve God willingly. Jesus served God willingly, and the first way that he did this was by showing this attitude of humility. So this is my fourth point, really, is that in order to build a stronger relationship with God, we have to be willing to serve. We have to be willing to serve God. 1 Peter. I don't use PowerPoint very often, as you can tell. I'm very slow. And I am sorry. Okay. Well, let me, I don't know what I'm doing here. Sorry. Anyway, I'm on my fourth point. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is where I want to be right now. 1 Peter chapter 5. In talking about serving God willingly, Peter writes, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." To serve God with a willingness of heart means that we have to be allowing ourselves to be humbled before God. We have to be willing to allow ourselves to be humbled before others. We need to show this attitude of humility just as Christ did. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Wow, I'm so sorry. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, this is where I'm at. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." And if we are showing this humble attitude towards God, then we are implying the fact that we are living a life that is pleasing to God. We are showing the attitude of commitment in serving God willingly. We have to show this attitude of commitment no matter how bumpy the road gets, no matter how much pain or suffering we go through. We have to be 100% committed to God. It's to enter into a relationship with God, to enter into the spiritual relationship with God, it's a 100% commitment. There's no 30-day risk-free trial. There's no 90-day get your money back, risk-free trial. It's all or nothing. God wants all of us. He doesn't want half of us. He wants us to have a total commitment to him because he has shown a total commitment to us. And there is no greater price, rather there is no greater reward that we can receive from any earthly thing that we show commitment to than showing a commitment to God and showing that in a relationship to God. Along with showing this attitude of commitment and humility, we have to be willing to show an attitude of wanting to spread the news, spread the good news, wanting to share the gospel of Christ. In order to serve God willingly, we have to want to preach God. We have to want to teach others who God is and who Jesus is and what they have done for us and the sacrifice that they have made and the blessings that they have given to us. This is all part of serving God willingly. You know, our main purpose in life, our only mission in life as Christians, is to tell others who Christ is, because it was a gift given to us, this eternal salvation, this saving of our spiritual lives was a gift given to us that we need to give to others, because God, as I said, is a jealous God. He wants his people. Anyone who is willing to believe who God is his people. And we have to be willing to teach the news, to teach the gospel of Christ to others so that they will know who he is in order to give them that chance to be saved as well. I'll be honest, I'm not very good with concluding remarks. I try to write stuff down, but it doesn't really work. You know, as I said before, it's four basic points. We have to lay down a foundation in order to build a stronger relationship with God. We have to be always studying His Word. We have to always be knowing the Scriptures so that we know who God is and what He would want us to do in situations. We have to be always living that godly life. We have to always be serving Him with a willingness of heart, with no grumbling, always being joyful, no matter what happens to us in life, always showing that joy, not only towards God, but towards others in the world, so that they will know that we are a different kind of person. You know, I've implied here in my lesson that, you know, in order to build a stronger relationship with God implies that we have this spiritual relationship in the first place, that we already have a spiritual relationship. And really, there's no way to have a spiritual relationship without first letting God know that you want that relationship. Christ has given us that opportunity. He has died for our sins. He has given us a way to come before God and to confess our sins, to let Him know that we are ready to accept Him into our lives, that we are ready to start living a life that He is willing to do, that He is wanting us to live. And if you're here tonight, and if you don't have this relationship with God, if you don't feel at peace, if you don't feel that there is, if you feel as if there is just discontentment in your life, if you don't have that relationship with God, we have that chance. You have a chance tonight to make that happen. You have a chance to start building that foundation, to start building on the foundation and building that stronger relationship with God. If you're here tonight and you already have that relationship with God and you just feel that it hasn't been a very strong one, because we are human and because we forget, we put God on the back burner sometimes. I know I do. We have that chance to make it right with God. We have a chance to come before God and to let Him know that we are willing to change, that we are ready to change. I can't say enough how awesome God is. I can't say enough how many things He has done for me, how much He has affected my life spiritually. And you know, without the relationship with God, I don't know where I would be right now. I know that I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be among this family. You know, God saved my life, and I know that he's willing to save anyone here who is willing to accept that. If you're here tonight, and if you feel that you are in need of the invitation, I ask that you come forward now as we stand, sing the invitation song.